It's the Low Score Podcast with Bobby and Jay.
Hello. I just finished reading The Shattering yesterday.
Good man.
And I noticed something. It said that Falstad Wildhammer was going to be on the Council of Three Hammers, but in the beta, it's Kurdrin Wildhammer, and Falstad is not in the game at all. What happened to him?
Isn't Falstad dead? From Day of the Dragon?
No, he survived, and in fact, he was the leader of Airy Peak in Vanilla WoW through Wrath of the Lich King.
Right, of course.
Right.
Yeah, Alex, what's up with that?
Thanks for pointing that out. We're going to get that fixed.
Thank you.
Bet.
These two bros know their MMOs. It's the Low Score Podcast with your hosts, Bobby and Jay.
I've been complaining about that issue forever, you know?
Who hasn't? I know. We as expert WoW players, we noticed that a long time ago. I think if you'll go back to episode 17, you'll probably remember.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up again because I didn't want to push it, but...
In all seriousness, I thought that guy was legit awesome.
Yeah, good for him.
Like, good for him, like... Getting it done. No, I mean, if there's any place where like nerdiness like that works, it's WoW.
Another place where nerdiness like that works is here on the Low Score Podcast, episode 53.
Big episode 53 with Bobby and Jay. Bobby, you are over there.
I am over here. Jay, you are over there.
I am.
And guess what? We did
what?
It again.
What? Ah, Gene Parmesan's here?
No, we brought Jimmy in again.
Oh, even better.
Even better.
I'm over here. Two on the trot.
Hey, that's a pretty cool decal on your wall.
Thank you. It is a plum tree.
Ah. What does it represent?
Plums.
That you have a vagina?
Yeah.
That would be a peach tree.
That's something I'm familiar with over here.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. I was just in, a few months ago, I was in Columbia, South Carolina, and took a tour of the historic area, which was great. And they made a big deal of bashing your home state, saying like they think they're the peach state. Did you know that 90% of peaches come from South Carolina? And I was like, well, you probably should have done some better PR, South Carolina.
No, seriously. Yeah, I've never seen a peach tree.
Do you guys like Rice-A-Roni?
You do.
No.
It's a San Francisco tree.
Hey, but go Giants.
Bing, bing, hey. Yeah.
Hey, Riots-A-Roni.
Yeah.
Oh, stuff went down. They're nice.
Boom. You let that get way out of line, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, just when stuff like that happens, you have no time but to just try to stay safe and get out of there. There's no time to think about anything else.
No time. Well, great. Let's do this episode of the Low Score Podcast.
Video games. They're a thing.
It's been too long. I went away for a while. I went to Disney World.
I saw that. Good for you, man.
It was a whole lot of fun.
Did you play my favorite game-related thing at Disney World is in the Magic Kingdom, the Buzz Lightyear ride?
Yes.
Yeah.
I kicked major ass on that ride.
Good for you. That shit is fun. Mm-hmm.
Do they still have like a big Sega Expo at Epcot Center?
Oh, no. Not for years.
Surprising.
That was in... I only saw that once. I was there in 98, and there were Saturn machines everywhere.
Wow, they hadn't taken it out by that point?
They had not. That's it was not. I mean, it was all Saturn machines, so it wasn't a lot of fun.
You don't like Panzer Dragoon?
I only like Panzer Dragoon. But they still have like the little Coca-Cola station in Epcot, which is not as fun when you know, live right down the street from World of Coke.
No, you can get four Cokes.
Yeah, World of Coke's way better.
I can get four Coke whenever I want. But yeah, that's like life's biggest video game that doesn't have a score. Except for the Buzz Lightyear ride, which does have a score. Which
it does. It legit has a score.
Yeah.
It's not a video game, though. It's some like mechanical game.
Some sort of light gun game.
Yeah.
One of those old shooting arcades.
Bang, bang. Zoom, zoom.
Zang, zang. So I didn't get to play that many games, but you guys got to play a bunch. What do we want to start with?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm playing a shit ton of games. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I just said no, but Jimmy.
Yeah. I haven't played that much.
All right. So I'm going to start the showstopper with Rock Band 3. And I have in the notes also Lego Rock Band, because I was getting real excited for Rock Band 3. And 2 weeks before it came out, maybe 3 weeks, But Lego Rock Band went on sale on Amazon for like $15. And I was like, oh shit, time for, you know, bunch of songs, free points. That game's all right. It is totally worth $15 and the 25 total with the 10 to export. You know, because now I can play the Ghostbusters theme whenever I want. A-Punk, Two Princes. There are enough good, like, songs you'd want to play in Rock Band to justify that purchase. I got like 400 points out of it, so. But Rock Band 3, that's the real deal. That's what's worth talking about.
Sell me. Convince me.
I don't know if I can sell you if you don't care about Rock Band. But here's the thing. If you're like, I don't really feel like playing Rock Band, will Rock Band 3 make me want to play Rock Band? The answer is no. But if you say, all right, I play some Rock Band. I play enough Rock Band 2 to like justify thinking about spending money on Rock Band. But why would I just buy like this big song pack? And it is definitely worth full price for the songs and everything that they add in. They've changed it to make it the most user-friendly experience they can possibly make it, and make it as fun as they can, both solo and multiplayer. Just little things like being able to drop out of a song mid-song and change your difficulty. Being able not to have, you know, if you finish a song and, you know, you want to switch from guitar to drums, you don't have to back all the way out to the menu. They don't mess with any of that where you have to play anything to unlock songs on the disc. Everything's unlocked right from the start.
Oh, finally. After how many years has it been since Guitar Hero?
Oh God, I know. It's just like no bullshit. In fact, if you don't ever want to touch like the like quote unquote quest mode, you don't have to do that. They've switched it out to a like challenge type system. Reminiscent of a lot of games, is very similar to challenges in Borderlands. Modern Warfare or something like that, where everything you do starts building towards literally hundreds and hundreds of goals. So there'll be goals as crazy as like hit 100,000 notes total, or you know, as simple as like play 5 downloaded songs. And every time you complete one of those, you get, you know, points, and they like move you up and they unlock new characters and outfits and shit if you care about that stuff, or if you want like some sort of feeling of progression. If you don't really care about that, they still give you a lot of ways to play. Navigating through songs is a lot faster. They give you a lot more options. You can rank every song now. So once you play enough, you can just rank it. So like the songs you play the most come up to the top. You can sort by genre now. They've gotten rid of a lot of the dumb headers. Like in Rock Band 2, if you had bought a song, it would put the name of the album before that, even if you did not have any other songs from that album. Now it only groups it together if you have like 3 or 4 or the whole album. That like makes it worth saying like, okay, no, we're going to take this subset out and like group them together. You know, all that's been really fun.
Does it still make pa-dow noises?
No, it's actually a much, much more subdued in the DAO department. They've been getting less and less for DAO since,
how will I know if I've selected something or exited out of something?
I don't know. It's rough going. I like the art style a lot more. Just like the way the characters move and stuff, it looks a lot better. They've gone a little bit more towards, you know, like realistic stuff. The only gameplay change, obviously they have all the pro mode stuff. Now, I do not have a pro guitar, so I cannot tell you about that, though it seems crazy.
Is that something you're interested in eventually?
Yes, and in fact, they just announced today I don't know if I want the Mad Catz guitar. I feel like if I want to do it, I might as well go all out and get the legit
guitar. The Pelican guitar.
It is $280, and I was pretty seriously thinking about asking for it for Christmas, but it's coming out in March now, which is a big bummer. But I feel like at some point one of those two guitars will come in my house. Because I'm getting to the point where guitar is pretty boring. But I do have the cymbals and extra drum pedal for my drums, so I can play pro drums.
Where did those come from?
Wait, didn't you already have 2 drum pedals?
Yes, I did. So I already had these for Rock Band 2, which worked, but they didn't do anything. So okay. In Rock Band 2, you can plug in the cymbals and the extra pedal, and like both pedals just do the same thing. They're just nice because if you get good at it, and there's like rapid fire pedals, you can, you know, alternate feet. You can also just kind of have fun, goof around. Like when you plug in if you look at the back of the Rock Band 2 and 3 drums, you'll notice there's ports for each of the four drum heads. If you plug in like to yellow, let's say, you can hit the yellow pad or the cymbal and it does the same thing. So just kind of like for fun.
Gotcha.
In the pro drums, that those all become real. So now all of a sudden I have seven drum pads and two different feet.
Wow.
So you can go through the drum tutorials, and start playing some songs. It's a lot of fun and it feels, you know, it's definitely harder, but not like way harder, if that makes any sense. The only songs I've tried on are easier drum songs. Well, but I'll play, on expert, drums. So, you know, if you look at like it, like in Rock Band 2, it ranks all the songs, but from 0 to, then 1 through 5 and then like 5 flaming skulls, which is like insane mode. So I've been staying with like 2-star drum songs, but playing on like hard expert and or hard pro drums. And it's a lot of fun. Apparently, one of the fun things about pro drums is they've apparently been mapping this stuff in all along. So every song you have works with pro drums. Whereas with pro guitar and bass and pro keyboards, it only works with the new stuff. And for future pro guitar stuff, you'll have to pay extra.
I guess that makes sense because the pro drum stuff isn't that much more complicated.
No. In fact, I guess disappointing the fact that it doesn't seem like, or very rarely, the actual layout is any different than regular expert. It just brings in those cymbals.
Ah.
So for regular expert, it's just like yellow. And now it differentiates between, okay, yellow line is the pad and yellow circle is the cymbal.
I actually played Band Hero for the Wii about a month ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
I could not adjust to having cymbals that were not like the pads I was looking to hit.
It's definitely a weird thing. It's hardest when, you know, if you're just sitting there tapping on a cymbal as opposed to the pad, it's not that big of a difference. The place where it gets really impossible is when they want you to change and they start mixing it up and you're really, you know, alternating and stuff. So that's breathed a lot of life into the game.
All right. Let's cut the bullshit.
Okay.
When is Billy Joel available?
Billy Joel is coming to Rock Band in probably, I think by the end of the year, a couple months or so. And I will be buying whatever they feel like charging. I have pre-ordered the, I haven't played the keyboards, which is, I said pro, but probably keyboards is the biggest addition in Rockman 3.
Hmm.
I don't have the keyboard. I have, Jimmy, that MIDI keyboard you gave me. So I'm buying the MIDI adapter. And I'm going to see if that is good enough. If not, then I will just buy the regular keyboard, but the adapter's not out yet, so I haven't played keyboards. But that will certainly make the Billy Joel parts hella fun.
Excellent. Excellent.
Crocodile Rock is in Lego Rock Band, and I hope I can like pay a buck or something to make keyboards active in that, because that would be incredible. I do have, though, a tale of woe to tell with my Rock Band 3 experience.
Yeah, please tell, because you mentioned this to me online and said you were just going to save it to the podcast, and I've been anxiously waiting.
I've had a problem for a while, and you may be able to tell where this story is going midway through, so I'll try to make it quick. I've been having storage problems on my Xbox. I got a 20-gig hard drive, and I bought a 16-gig USB stick, and the USB stick was holding my live arcade games, and my hard drive was basically holding my saves and DLC and stuff. But the problem is I got all this Rock Band shit, and especially with Rock Band 2's a 2-gigabyte download to export it, and LEGO Rock Band's a gig and a half. I was really running out of room. I needed more space. So I bought another 16-gig memory stick.
Smart.
Plugged it in, moved all my shit over. I mean, I got like 8 gigs worth of shit. Moved everything I had over, my Beatles stuff, all my saves. So I'm just like, this is great. Now I got plenty of space on all these three places. This is a dedicated Rock Band thing. I've got a good 4 or 5 gigs left for, you know, whatever I buy in the future. So Rock Band 3 comes out. I play the shit out of it. I probably play it for like 4 or 5 hours one night. Then the next day I come home, play a little bit more, play for like an hour. Next day I turn it on, my Xbox on, and I go to load my Rock Band 3 save, and the USB stick, which I've renamed Rock Band, just says like, unconfigured USB device.
Oh no.
And I'm like, what does that mean? What? So I restart my Xbox, same thing. Unplug it, plug it back in. Same thing. Plug it in my computer. It like doesn't even recognize it. And like, it shows up, you know, I can open it up, but it doesn't show any files. It shows like 0 gigs out of 0 gigs free. it won't even let me, like, you know, go into, like, the properties or anything.
Oh, God.
It's like my computer can tell something's in my US, like, plug new USB drive. I don't know what to do. So, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, this seems like it's corrupted. What am I going to do? So I'm like, well, luckily with Xbox Live, everything I've purchased, I should be able to go download again. But I'll lose all my saves, which is annoying because it's basically like, well, not that I'm ever going to play Rock Band 1 or 2 again, but now I sure as hell can't get any achievements anymore because almost all the achievements are progressive. I have most of the Rock Band 2 ones, but Rock Band 1 I still actually have a handful to get. The biggest bummer was Lego Rock Band, which I was about two-thirds of the way through the campaign, which I'm going to have to replay if I want to get a couple hundred more achievements there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rock Band 3, I'd only lost about a day's worth of work, but still, a lot of that stuff's cumulative. I got 100% on Expert. Obviously, I still have all those achievements, but...
Yeah, right. You don't have them in the game.
So I decide, all right, I'll get rid of it and then, you know, just keep playing. Honestly, losing my saves was the least annoying part of the story. It's trying to fucking download all of my old Rock Band stuff at the same time the dashboard is going live. And Xbox.com is broken as shit.
Yeah.
So, because my first thing is, the fastest way to do it is I'll just go to Xbox.com and go to my download history where you can browse it by game and stuff. Well, they just rejiggered Xbox.com a couple weeks ago. You can't get to your download queue or your like download history, because like every time you click on those links, you just get a douchebag avatar like, oh, there's a problem. You don't even get a 404 error. It's just like, yeah, we know this page doesn't work right now. We're sorry.
Yeah, I got that trying to upgrade my gold account. It was right. Just like, I don't know.
So I had to go through the slow ass process of literally going through the past 3 years that I have owned Rock Band, filtering through all of my content. It took hours, like, sorting through this and, like, waiting for it to download. And the problem is I had to keep stopping because I did not know this because I've never downloaded, like, 200 things at once. There is a limit to how much you can queue up. and, of course, my download speed is fucking slow, which is why it's because of all the dashboard update going live. This was this weekend when I was re-downloading these. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here like, how is this taking so long? So I had to keep going back, like, over several sessions, like, waiting for it to clear out, then going back down and, like, making a list to make sure I had everything. And I guess now I'm pretty sure I have everything back. But, you know, if I accidentally skipped one and or, like...
You should have just waited, like, a week till all that...
I got to play Rock Band, though. What am I going to do? Play the disc songs? Fuck that.
That's why you bought the game.
No. I got to have the whole thing, man. Got to have the whole experience.
Yeah.
Can't be limited to the on-disc songs. So, that was awful. And now I don't know what to do. So I formatted it again, and I've, like, just copied some stuff on there, just, like, duplicate stuff, mm-hmm. to see if it freaks out again. And it has not yet, but I think I got to return it and get another one.
Yeah.
Or just get it.
What brand
I've never
it?
Had that problem with my other USB. I don't know if it's because I was in the beta program or if something was fucked up, but God damn it.
So I never beta program anything.
All I could think about was like, well, thank God, like something like Borderlands was on there. Because if Borderlands got erased, I'd be like, never playing this game again.
Oh no!
Fuck that. No way, man. Like, when am I gonna get back up to level 50?
Oh God, that'd be so sad.
Be the worst. So you know, like I said, the save game stuff is a little annoying, but not catastrophic. You know,
I've lost a lot of save games in my lifetime, like I guess only PlayStation 2 stuff because that was the memory card era.
Oh yeah.
I lost a lot of that. Great games. I thought about playing or buying Rock Band 3. And only because I haven't purchased new equipment since the first game. Like, I have my original drums.
You should upgrade. The drums are the best thing to upgrade.
Yeah.
The Rock Band 1 guitar is pretty good, except that it's wired.
Yeah, the drums
are significantly better.
I wonder, like, is there like a drum pack? Like, can you buy the game and drums? Do you know?
I think the only packs they're offering are game alone or game and keyboards.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it's not really worth it for me to do that. Never mind. I'm not buying Rock Band 3.
Yeah, you might want... I'd buy it. For someone like you or anybody listening who is a more casual player, I would wait, you know.
Yeah.
The set list is great. I mean, there's 83 licensed tracks. It's, you know, a whole fuck ton of stuff all over the place. it's worth it for Huey Lewis and the News, The Power of Love alone. That's $60 right there, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, I've been having a lot of fun. It's another one of those games where you're like, man, this is a great lesson on how to iterate. Wait 2 years and, like, really think about it and add, like, a bananas amount of meaningful gameplay changes. And if you don't give a shit about pro instruments or keyboards, well, there's still 83 songs and a way better interface for when you are drunk with your friends to play.
Actually, what I was thinking of doing is releasing moderate incremental updates with bands nobody really cares about. Say some sort of AC/DC or Metallica rock band. That was my idea.
Yeah.
That could work.
Could work.
That's another franchise. Although AC/DC was rock band.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Although that was only $30 and a Walmart exclusive. That was just because the only reason that game exists is because AC/DC had some exclusive deal with Walmart at some point. And like, so the only way they could release Rock Band songs was on disc. And so at first it only came to Walmart. Now you can buy. Yeah.
That's
you
weird.
Could export songs though. Yeah. So it's basically just, I think there's only like 200 points on it. It's like basically DLC.
Cause nothing says rocking like Walmart.
Yeah. No. In Australia, AC/DC is called Akitaka.
Shit.
Wonderful.
In Canada, ZZ Top is called ZZ Top.
You know, so I called out my friend saying that Z is bullshit. Because besides W...
It is. That's three letters.
Z is the only letter in the alphabet that is pronounced using another consonant and not right. just vowels.
W is kind of bullshit. That's a good point.
Yeah. Someone just got lazy. Like, that one again. Z, like... You don't say, like, ack for A. No, fuck that.
Here's something else. I was thinking about this the other day. Okay. When you were little and you went to buy a Nintendo game or a Sega game or a Super Nintendo game, those games came on a piece of physical media. What is that physical media called?
Cartridge.
Cart.
Cart's not bad. I hate tapes.
Oh yeah, no, that's wrong.
People who say tapes are wrong. Cartridge is the correct answer. Cart's not bad. I'll accept cart.
I'd probably say cartridge. Game cart. Back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, tape is totally wrong because those things don't exist on tape. Like tape is.
Yeah.
Although I still say, like, are you going to tape The Office this week with the DVR?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't really know how to use the DVR though, so.
That doesn't bother me. That's like people who, say I made a mixtape and it's really like a CD or an iPod playlist. Yeah. Like that's dumb, but you know, acceptable.
Right. It's a verb, not like, it'd be like me calling a computer like a calculator. Like, right. Yeah, I'm just going to hop on the calculator.
Because tape doesn't mean, are you going to transfer this to like VCR?
Right.
Like literal tape. It means, are you going to somehow record this so we can watch it later?
That's the word we use for record. Right. And video games were never really on tapes.
No, like, never.
I'm trying to
computer
think
programs
any...
were barely on tapes. Yeah. Like there were a few old machines with cassette decks, but.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up, man.
Speaking of fucked up, all right, Jimmy.
All right.
So you're playing brand new release. Massive.
Yeah, totally. I played some Halo Reach. Actually, I played a good amount of Halo Reach.
Yo, Halo Reach is pretty fun. Still fun.
Yeah. I feel like we talked about that really recently.
I haven't played in 3 weeks.
Have you beaten it yet?
Nope. That last time I played where I got really mad at that one part where I missed the tank, that's the last time I played the game.
You should play. Let's play that on Legendary so we can get the achievement.
That's what I'm saying. Jimmy and I have already done 2 missions. We got 7 more to go.
Can I jump in now and get the achievement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you can start any mission at like 3 different checkpoints anytime.
It's just at some point if you get them all done.
You can only have one save going, so you got to beat the game.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you'll lose any progress you have. Now, you can start back from whatever level you ended at.
Okay.
But that's you should beat the game.
Okay. I need to beat the game. So, Jimmy, do you regret your decision to upgrade to gold and to play Reach and buy it online?
No. Now that having, like, taken the plunge, I guess, and put in for gold again, I value it.
It's nice, isn't it? It's just
It's nice to have it and then know that it's there.
Like, man, if I just wanted to play this online, I could totally do that. If I just want to play some Uno with some bros, I could totally
do that.
That's pretty rad.
And I should be getting 800 points for free.
Oh, what did you buy?
Yeah.
I've not bought anything yet. Oh, no, 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 no. It's the different offer. My gold thing, when I got my gold subscription, it was like moderately discounted and came with 800 points.
Smart.
Okay. Oh, nice.
But it's like, wait, 60.
Did you do the thing where you bought 30 bucks last month?
No, because I don't have 30 bucks to spend on.
I got, thank God for Rock Band.
Crap.
I spent 20 bucks exporting Rock Band 2 and Lego Rock Band, and then I bought Super Meat Boy.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's actually a really clever way of doing it, to spend the money exporting.
Hell yeah, man. I was like, gotta do it anyway. Like, absolutely.
I bought 3 games.
Nice. Yeah, Halo Reach continues to be really fun. I don't know for you, but I find, even with all the newer games I bought this month, if I find myself with 30 minutes or so, I'll be like, let's fucking play a couple rounds of this.
Yeah, I still play, a little bit each day. I've not been playing as much because I got an even newer game.
Yeah.
Called Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. The sequel to Mass Effect.
Yep.
Or the prequel to Mass Effect.
First question. How far are you in that Mass Effect book you got?
I finished it.
What'd you think?
That book is so bad.
It's kind of okay, though.
Like a, yo, bro, this is sick kind of bad. Like, this is a really bad book.
Like, the writing was fucking terrible.
Yeah, like, there's a big difference between writing a plot outline for a game and then writing, like, dialogue.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, that dude wrote Mass Effect. So, like, all the dialogue in those two games, which, like, I always think of as being quite good. You're like, oh shit. Like, again.
Did he write all that dialogue, though? Yeah. He must have had assistants.
Listen, he probably has assistants.
The dialogue
in the book is fucking awful.
He's the lead writer on Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2. I guess, admittedly, I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
But you would think the writing team wouldn't be huge.
You think that the dialogue in Mass Effect is good? I think it's abysmal.
See, what my point was is I do, but then I got to thinking, like, man, do I just have weird low-ass video game standards?
Yeah, I think you do.
Probably.
I think that's probably right.
Tell me about the door that goes over there.
Because I think the story in Mass Effect is fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, maybe I just get sucked in, but I find the dialogue to be all right.
The voice
when you really think about it, some of it is embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But I thought the story in Revelation was pretty good. Like, Saren is a cool character, so, like, that was fun.
Yeah.
I loved him in Juno. Michael Saren,
okay.
Fuck you.
I'm making Mass Effect jokes about movies that came out when Mass Effect was out.
If Saren got pregnant in high school and then had a fling with Jason Bateman, that would Mass Effect 3 coming soon.
Done.
Mass Effect 1, so this is your third time through.
No, I think it's more than that.
Really?
This thing's like fourth or fifth.
So what are you doing
differently?
Still holds
up. It's still good. Very little. I just wanted to make sure I had like a absolute, like, did everything in the game, level 60 character, who I'm then going to take into Mass Effect 2 and do the same thing there, so that I now have a final canonical Shepard. Just put it on the shelf for like a year, and then when Mass Effect 3 comes out, just take that one in.
That's pretty smart. I would like to do that again. I had a blast playing through Mass Effect a second time. That game is so good. I was thinking it says something that I just searched Mass Effect on Amazon, and Mass Effect 1 is more expensive than Mass Effect 2.
It's fucked up.
By 58 cents.
I never beat Mass Effect 2. I refused to. Remember that? I'm still stuck to my guns.
Yeah, well, you already paid for it, so...
Yeah.
You showed them.
Take my $60 and I will not experience all of this.
As much junk as I talk about that game, the end sequence is pretty fun. From like an action standpoint, I think it actually ends like the story-wise on a pretty ho-hum moment.
Yeah. I really like that game.
I'm gonna finish it. I just need to go back to it. I'm over my my qualms with it.
I spent about an hour last night just at the start of Mass Effect 2, like tweaking my appearance.
Oh, nice.
And like, as soon as I got into gameplay, I'm like, all right, save, go to bed.
Are you a fellow shepherd or a lady shepherd?
I'm a lady shepherd.
Okay, good.
That's fine. Yeah, my second playthrough was lady shepherd in Mass Effect 1.
That is the right answer.
Yep.
Anything else to say about either of those two?
No.
So I beat my first game since playing Bad Company 2. I believe this is the first game I've...
Jesus.
Well, I played a lot of games and how I finished them. But I purchased and played and beat Costume Quest. I was just in the Halloween spirit. I said, I'm going to do this, and did it as part of my spend $30, get 800 points, whatever.
This is the new Double Fine game. It's funny, and your kids, and it's a RPG type thing.
Yeah, so
DLC.
As everyone has described it, it is like my first RPG. It is very simple. The premise is you are a boy or a girl on Halloween night, and you're supposed to go out trick-or-treating with your brother or sister, and then they get kidnapped by these evil monsters that are trying to steal all the candy. Whoa, I went to, sorry, I went to screensaver mode. But yeah, so they kidnapped you or your sister or whoever, and you have to go like house to house trick or treating, and then when you like knock on the door, there's either a chance that like an adult will pop out and give you a bunch of candy, which is the currency in the game, or there will be a monster, and then you go into a battle sequence, and whatever costume you're wearing is the role that you take on when you go into the battle. So like in the game, there is a robot, a spaceman with a light sword. There is a vampire, a unicorn, the Statue of Liberty, whose special move, like, heals your party, but involves an animation in which, like, a face of Abraham Lincoln and an eagle soar across the screen and meet each other. But, you know, the combat is really simple. Like, it's usually, like, two or three enemies of the same type. There are maybe, like, 12 different types total in the game, like three different races, like not a whole lot of variation. And all battles basically boil down to do two standard attacks with each character and then do your super attack and then do two standard attacks with each character and hope that they're dead. And the attacks are done by, you know, a couple methods for doing like this super attack. It kind of reminds me of Mario and Luigi's Superstar Saga. There's like timed attacks, but like it pops up on the screen. It's like, you know, it shows like a little meter and you have to hit A at the right time or like smash A or B or whatever. That just randomly generates the button. You know, circle the left stick to fill up the little meter and then you do your super attack. And then you can block if you time it right. And that drags on. I mean, this isn't a very long game, but by the time I was done with it, I was seriously done with it. I was ready to be done with it. I'm glad this game was only, you know, $15 and... maybe 3 hours, 4 hours. I don't know exactly how long I spent.
The Double Fine's last offering, Brutal Legend, definitely kind of took them down a few pegs for me. It sucked real bad. But it was a shame that it sucked because, boy, was it fun for the first hour. And then it was kind of middling for the next 3 hours. And then it was unplayable for the last 2 hours.
Fuck this. Fuck you.
So $15 for a simple RPG sounded to me like thumbs down.
Yeah.
My question is, should I buy this?
No.
And not for any price?
I would say, you know, you could buy it for 10 and you'd have fun with it. Like, it's charming. It has a whole lot of charm. And that's what it rests on.
Is it legitimately, I mean, their strength is in their storytelling and their humor. Does that shine through?
It's cute. You know, the dialogue is nice. Like, it's not too patronizing in the way that I hated 3D Game Heroes. It's not like, well, over the top, look at all this stupid humor we make. You gamers will love this. There is a Job reference where a guy in a banana costume.
That's pretty great. Now you're selling this game to me.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
All right.
You know, it's just a lot of clever writing. And like the costumes come at you at a pace that you do get to like change up what you're doing a little bit. And some costumes, like, yeah, they have like on map abilities. So where you're walking around the world, if you're the spaceman, like your lightsaber lights up and then you can go through dark areas, which you couldn't go through. Or you can rollerblade around as the robot guy who you use like throughout the entire game. Because why would you not want to rollerblade as opposed to walk?
Exactly.
And then the other stuff's kind of interchangeable. And you end up getting three characters in your party over time. And then your characters can be modified by these things called battle stamps, which you buy using candy. And they just add like abilities. Like you can counterattack, you know, a stronger counterattack. There's add splash damage, add some sort of like healing, but there are no real items in the game. Like you don't go into a battle and then if you need to heal, you heal yourself. Like there's no healing. Either you win or you don't win. And if you die, you just have to do it again. So
does it just like cut right out or do you have to load from a save?
No, it just cuts right out and then you just knock on the door again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess, all right. I guess that's kind of nice.
It streamlines it. It's a little odd at first. You're like, I should be punished. It's like, nope, just do it again. That's all. This game's really easy. But I could have gone for some more variation, especially, you know, in that fourth, by the time I hit about 4 hours, I was ready to be done with it.
Yikes.
But it has like the same suffer, the same trappings as a crappy RPG where sometimes you don't know what you're going to do, like where you're supposed to go. Like I wandered around and didn't realize like the quest I needed to do involved me like putting a shield over my head so I could walk under some water. He was like, we can't go through there because your cardboard costume will get wet. I was like, oh, I need to find a costume that's not cardboard. No, I needed to like put on the knight costume and hold the shield above my head so I didn't get wet. I had to look it up on GameFAQs.
That definitely sounds like really old school turn-based RPG stuff.
I did not know how to finish the game. Cause like I went to like the last lady and she's, you know, up on the hill and you have this epic battle and then she like kind of sobs and she's like, oh, you know, I thought I could defeat you. Like, you know, what has become of me? Like, don't talk to me. I'm like, okay. And I started wandering around. I wandered.
I'm guessing you probably should have talked to her.
Yeah. And I went back up and talked to her. She's like, yeah, you know, she says something about like, don't, she basically wants you to, or eggs you on to talk to her 3 times in a row so that you can gauge the final battle. But I did not pick up on that clue. So I just kept walking around and around and around. It was miserable.
Bobby, what if there were a game where it lied to you and there was like an old man who said you should go in this closet and when you open it, there's a bear.
There's a bear.
There's a bear.
Yeah, follow Peter Molyneux 2 on Twitter. He's the best.
He is. That's true. Fake Peter Molyneux.
But yeah, it's a cute game. I'm glad I bought it. I bought it for Halloween and I played it mostly on Halloween and finished it up today. It was appropriate for the season. I think it's going to lose some of its charm as it moves out. But I do think, it was on Bombcast the other week that they said that they should just do seasonal video games.
It's a smart idea. Yeah.
Like a Christmas
I think game. That would be very charming.
So
I hope this game rolls for like, you know, $7.50 or $10 next Halloween. I'll be like, ah, all right.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say go run out and buy it. But I did not regret it. Cool.
There's so
one more big game.
Giant so game. I've been excited about two games this holiday season. I talked about one. Let's talk about the other, Fallout New Vegas. So you should play Fallout New Vegas is my review. Buying Fallout New Vegas and putting it in was like getting like once fall starts to hit and you can't wear shorts anymore, like pulling your like best worn pair of jeans out and put it on. You're like, yes. God, this is, I remember these motherfuckers. It plays shock. Like, I was surprised at how identical to Fallout 3 it is. In the fact that they were like, no nonsense. We're not even going to cosmetically change anything. Like, the graphics are the same. The Pip-Boy is the same. Most of the perks are the same. Most of the items are the same. Like, no, we're just doing this. Everything we did was about new environments and characters and story. Just about. The first thing I will say about Fallout New Vegas is the main story is far more compelling than Fallout 3 ever was. And while it seems so far, and I will admit, I'm probably only about 10 to 15 hours in. So, you know, I feel like far enough to say a few things about it, but not even close to endgame stuff. Most of the side quests seem geared closer to the story. I haven't had any quests so far that were like completely out there. I don't necessarily mean out there like weird, but out there that like they don't have anything to do with the main story, like most of the side places in Fallout 3 would do. I don't really know where to begin.
It's red, I hear.
It's red?
The interface is red?
Oh, I again, what's so funny, I did this before I heard Jeff Gerson said it. The first thing I did was change it to blue, because that is how I played Fallout 3 as well.
Wait, Fallout 3 could be in blue?
Yeah, you can change your color, because the color of the HUD was green. It's amber in New Vegas.
Amber.
You can change it to white or green or blue. I changed it to blue.
Green. You can banana, mint, plain, whatever the Earthbound flavors are.
Oh, yeah. Let's go over a few of the differences. The first thing you'll notice when you customize your character, you go through some shtick like you do at the beginning of Fallout 3, though you're not a kid reading a storybook. You basically like have this horrible accident and you like, you know, have to take these weird like Rorschach tests and like answer questions. There's a new thing called traits. Traits only come at the beginning of the game and they are weird perks that have positive and negative effects.
to be fair, those are like 12 years old.
Well, yeah, they're from the first Fallout games, but they are, you know, if we're being like really honest, like Fallout 3 kind of starts things over. And I feel like when you say Fallout, like probably 10 times as many people played Fallout 3 than did Fallout 1 and 2. So I think it's, you know, it's kind of new in the sense that like they went back and like found inspiration from an old, like older games in the series. Does that make sense? No?
Yes. I was okay. Waiting for Jimmy to answer.
Sorry. Oh, no.
All right. So
I see what you're saying.
They have brought back traits from the older Fallout games that were absent in Fallout 3.
Awesome. I can agree with that statement.
It's only happened in the meeting game. Most of them are not very good ideas. It'll be things like, you can like increase your critical hit percentage, but your weapons degrade faster. Or, you know, you can get a big agility boost, but your limbs will break faster. Something like that. The only one I took was a new trait called Wild Wasteland. I don't know if you heard about this perk. I actually not until I bought the game, and I was like, what the hell is this?
I did hear about it.
So Wild Wasteland, it basically decides if you want the game to be like weird and funny or not. There are a couple moments in the game where what you see and like the interaction with the character is based on whether you took this perk or not. I have not yet encountered any of these. I think I haven't had anything super duper weird, but I'm looking forward to seeing them. I think the most concrete example I've heard was like if you pick it, like the holy hand grenade from Fallout 2 comes back. And in fact, the interview I read with the guy who brought this in was basically like, I do not like that aspect of Fallout games. Like, I think they should be more serious. So like we wanted it to be an option. Like if you wanted the game to just be bananas and like embrace weird or not. So, it's a positive negative in the fact that it doesn't add stuff to the game. It actually like replaces stuff. So like you don't like miss or gain anything by having it in terms of like, you know, a character or something. Or like whatever, anything in the game that is affected by Wild Wasteland has a non-Wild Wasteland equivalent, which.
That seems like the appropriate way to do it.
Yeah, I was like, definitely then. Like, this game is already crazy and like, has a lot of dark humor.
I've already
like,
played super serious Fallout. I don't need.
Right. Another big change from Fallout 3 are companions. So you can have, right now I actually have two at the same time. Dudes or ladies or robots who will follow you around and help you out. They are actually really good. One of the guys I have with me is a sniper. So he's so good that sometimes I'll be walking and like don't have any enemies. And all of a sudden it pans to like, some feral ghoul just like, dying animation. I'm like, where did he come from? And like my sniper guy's just like, no, I'm taking care of this because I can see five times further than you can.
And those are fun. Do you get all that XP?
Yeah, you get all that XP. It's not like shared. So yeah, they can knock themselves out. What else is new? So there's now, you still have karma like you did in Fallout 3, but it doesn't really matter because you have these new like allegiances things. I think it's what it's called. So there's a bunch of different factions in the game. And, it's actually a really odd choice because the way the game works is it makes it impossible to see big chunks of the game in one playthrough. Pretty early on, you have to ally yourself with one of several factions or a couple, you know, there's a couple good factions and a couple bad factions. So it's possible to kind of be in good with several of them throughout the game. But one of the first missions, unless you just straight up ignore it and like move on, you're either going to piss off one side or another and like lock out their whole storyline. So I'm at the point now, there's a group of people who are these like escaped convicts who have like made their own like rogue gang. And I'm like, well, screw you. I'm going to be mad at you. So I went and, freed some people they had captured. And now like if I were to approach their base, if I was on good terms, I would be able to like talk with them and sleep there and trade and do missions and stuff. Now they just attack me. It's like done. Like you just can't all this stuff. No. Which is an interesting choice.
I think that I wonder if this has to do with the problem that our friend Andy had. He had to start the game over and re-roll and everything because he made some choice that caused people to go after him, and no matter where he went in the game, he was constantly being pursued by people.
I did this.
Couldn't do it, get anything done.
I did this too. So there's the big enemy in the game is Khaizar's Legion, and I think I like skipped too far ahead because I went and hunted down one of their bases and fought this really hard battle and like cleared it out. And I was like, hell yeah, man, I got a lot of experiences, rocks. And then like they sent assassins after me to the point where like I wouldn't even see him and I would be just dead.
Yeah, this
like my little level 8 self, it was just all like it would just all of a sudden be like, oh, dying animation. It was like they just saw me. So luckily I was like, well, I'll just screw, never mind. I'll like go back 15 minutes and, you know, I will not do that yet.
It seems like a terrible design choice to be able to have that happen. Like, it's one thing to be hounded. It's one thing to make the game unplayable.
It's a bold design choice. The one thing I will say, just like Fallout 3, is you make a lot of saves.
Yeah.
The way I play it is I have 3 saves that I rotate as my one save. So I can always go back at least 3 steps. So I've only had to do that one time.
I believe I had like 20 saves when I played Fallout 3.
Yeah, that's smart too. The more you can have, I mean, totally smart. But it definitely is a game that like I think it rewards kind of knowing about the game and like hardcore play. It makes no compromises for new people, I guess, is the best way to put it. They don't really care if that happens. They're like, yeah, that sucks, man. Like, I don't get too mad about it because that feels very in keeping. I want to go back to the karma system, which was a pretty big deal in Fallout 3, to the fact that it like affected how your interactions were with people and the ending and stuff like that. And it doesn't really, achievement points, right. It doesn't really affect anything at all in this game, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. The most is, I told you, so there's that gang where like they're really mad at me and I went and cleaned them out and I went to their base and like shot everybody. But still, if I go into someone's house and I steal something, I get negative karma. And I'm like, hold on.
Stealing is wrong, Jay.
I was like, they shot first and I just killed them all. How is it stealing? Nobody, this isn't anybody's anymore. This makes no sense.
Han shot first, Jay.
So that doesn't seem like it makes any sense. In fact, there was a quest quest for good people I had to complete. Somebody asked me to go, their wife had been sold into slavery, and like I had to go find proof of like why it was sold. And I had to like break into someone's safe to like find the bill of sale for it. And I was like, negative karma. And I'm like, that is positive karma. This guy is getting vengeance. This is messed up.
Did either of you see the video that got posted to YouTube of someone who hacked stealing? Like, he brought a bucket into a shop and then just started dumping things into the bucket. And then he just dragged the bucket out. Like, he didn't put it into his inventory. He just kind of moved it along the floor until he left the room. And then it, like, was no longer as part of the shop's inventory, so he just took it all.
That's pretty great.
Clever.
Yeah, I heard that game is busted as shit.
Yeah, please tell us about that.
Okay, so, yes. So they patched it. 2 days after it came out, at least I got a dashboard update. It seemed like it wasn't reported until after. And it was big too. It wasn't just like a dashboard update. It was like a 4 megabyte, like, yo, you need to download this because it's a mess of fixes. I have definitely seen a good amount of jankiness. None of it has affected gameplay. Some of it has just been weird. Like, I went into this like perfectly safe, bar. And like just in the middle, people kept going, look out, and like running around, but nothing was happening. And they like every 30 seconds, the guy would say it again. And so I was like, okay. Like, I went up and talked to him and had a full conversation. He'd be like, look out, and start running around again. So that was really weird. You know, I've had a couple weird instances where I like will like jump like around a little bit or like clip through a rock. It's janky. Nothing worse than Fallout 3 so far. A few instances where somebody will be like the speech dialogue is way behind the text, like that's coming up on the screen, you know, when you're talking to somebody. Again, like way janky, nothing jankier than Fallout 3 though.
It seems like when you're using an engine like that already exists. I mean, I don't remember Fallout 3 being particularly bad.
Oh, I remember it being pretty bad.
Huh. There's definitely like janky shit in Fallout 3, but like I haven't played New Vegas yet. I only know what I've seen on the internet. But people are saying it is like crashing on consoles and corrupting saves and stuff like that, which
those are all true. Never,
ever did that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm keeping multiple saves.
I mean, how the fuck do you release a game on a console that crashes?
Yeah. Like I said, all I can tell you is what I know. They have released a patch, and I have not encountered any errors. I too have seen 100 million errors, so it's probably not a bad idea to wait a little while on this game. You would hope that they probably won't fix stuff like what I'm talking about, but like the weird game breaking errors, you'd think they would just have to, you know.
You'd think if you had 2 years. Build a game that reuses basically all the art assets. You'd think you would have a lot of time to.
I would still say, so far this game is super fun, and the world they are painting is really cool. It's an even more fun world than Fallout 3. It is a lot less bleak. I mean, it's still pretty war torn, but you know, when you go to Fallout 3 into a village, like it would be like literally every building is destroyed except for like the one main building that you need to. And even that's pretty rough. Now it's like, all right, there's a lot of rubble and shit, but all the houses are still standing. You can walk in them, you know. It's all right.
Can you play table games at the casinos?
I have not been to New Vegas proper yet.
Ah.
I'm still in the desert. You can play this card game called Caravan, which is sort of fun but really easy to exploit once you find out the rules. If anybody's playing... and this fix is going around the internet. Just make a deck that is all tens, sixes, and kings. And then you play 10, 10, 10, king, 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 6, 6, 6. You win.
I win.
Those are for the people playing Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait on this one.
Waiting is probably not a bad idea. There's a ton of games out, and the game is definitely hella janky.
I still haven't played Point Lookout. So.
Wait for it to calm down. But everybody should play this game. You should not. I don't know why you should not play this game, especially if you like Fallout 3. Like, holy shit. Fuck.
Speaking of things that are new and a little janky.
Yeah.
We talked about the beta last time, but the Xbox Live dashboard update is official as of this weekend, as Jay mentioned.
It's live for everybody. Now I can talk to people over Xbox Live again, I assume. I actually haven't since Monday, but
I don't like
everybody's on the same page. No, it's awful.
I just got it yesterday, and now I don't know whether to blame stuff on it or not.
I don't know if the slow downloads are because of the new software or just because everybody's downloading it. But
no,
everything
I think that's just server traffic.
Everything seems super fucking slow. The worst thing is, especially like I've said, I have a hard drive and a USB, theoretically two. And when you download something, it doesn't let you point your download somewhere. It just like picks where it like defaults to the hard drive. Then if that's full, it goes to your next thing. Yeah.
That's
so I'm
messed
like,
up.
No. I'm like, but I put all my Live Arcade games on my USB stick. That's how I organize shit. And now I have to download to my hard drive and then move it there on the main dashboard. And at first in the beta, I was like, well, this is retarded. Are they going to fix this? Because this is way worse. Like, I used to be able to do this. Now you cannot.
I wonder if that's stuff that they'll just incrementally update. Like, they're so worried about, you know, how Kinect is going to come out right now that they don't care about the other features. And that maybe there'll be just like a little update to the dashboard before Christmas.
Poor Kinect. That's just not going to do well.
No, I don't think it's going to do well either. I find that the dashboard makes me dizzy, especially scrolling through the friends list, like the bouncy animation.
Just get dizzy a lot.
You've
talked about this before. I think you're prone to motion sickness.
Probably. It's really bubbly. I don't like how now when you're scrolling through the friends list, it like the person comes out of the screen a little bit.
That's the thing that makes me dizzy. Like it's just kind of like a little wave.
I don't know if it makes me dizzy. I just found out I just don't like it. And I find navigation to be much slower.
Yeah,
like not laggy. It just seems like going through blocks and like tabs is just a little slower. I'm just like, what's going on here, people?
I do like the color palette, kind of all the, you know, the redone graphics and stuff for Windows.
Yeah,
looks really sleek.
Yeah, it's easier to read with the black text on white backgrounds as opposed to the like white text on gray backgrounds.
And even things like the buttons, you know, it's instead of like a big like bubbly circle, like glassy circle B button or something like that. It's just a little red circle with a B in it. Which seems to also be what Windows was aiming for on their Windows Phone 7.
Right.
It has that, like, tile view. Like, letters are kind of big. There's not a whole lot of, like, classy dressed-up decoration. Mostly just, you know, solid geometric shapes and things. I do like the aesthetic.
But yeah, no choice, though.
Nope.
Now everybody gets it. So let's hope they fix some of the jank.
So as you can probably assume, I decided not to buy the Kinect and Dance Central after our conversation last time.
Yep, good choice.
Good work.
Yep. And that comes out, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So throw down your $150 plus game.
$200 Dance Central machine. All right. We're about hitting the hour mark.
Yeah.
I think it's time to take the plunge.
Let's move on.
Jay, you want to introduce?
I do. So we've had a lot of success and a lot of fun and some good feedback doing our bracket features. Our most recent one, just a few episodes ago, the greatest villain of all time. So GameFAQs, right on schedule after that successful one, has put out yet another game bracket. So we figured, we've got another, 128 competitors here. And we'll be going through to find the greatest game of the decade. Now, we've not talked about this beforehand. It'll be fun. Jimmy's here, so we'll have kind of three different voices.
We'll
do it live.
All right.
We'll all three have to agree. So here we go. First matchup. Fallout 3 versus Infamous.
Well, I think based on our discussion, Fallout 3, right? I mean, that's been so influential.
Infamous has electricity, right?
Yeah, there's electricity. But yeah, Fallout 3, one of the most influential games of all time. You know, at least this generation. Brought a whole new people into role-playing.
I like Fallout 3, but I don't think that's necessarily a true statement.
It's pretty good. Pretty big.
It's pretty, yeah, but not influential, I don't think.
What? Sorry, guys. You know, I was just looking through this quickly. So in the Southwest Division, there's number 3 seeded Portal.
Well, that's the greatest game ever made.
So if it's sucks. The greatest game ever made, wouldn't it be the greatest game of the decade?
Huh.
I
that's a pretty logical statement. I can't really argue with that. By definition, it would have to any competition it was in.
Right.
You know, at least in terms of overall quality, yeah, it would have to win it.
Right. So
that makes sense.
Can we call it? Call Portal? It's kind of skip the rest of the bracket and just do the
But we'll never know what's better, Demon's Souls or Mega Man 9.
Fire Emblem or Tony Hawk 2.
Portal wins. Low scores bracket, greatest game of the decade is complete. Portal, greatest game of the decade.
Awesome,
a
moving
lesser
on.
Lesser title than ever made, but it still holds true. Moving on to news.
Ooh, wait, now we have a...
Now we're moving on.
All right.
This is traveling music as we travel from our Game of the Decade competition to the news segment.
So I thought we should just acknowledge it this time because it is in the news, but it's not something I don't think that's worth discussing until more of the argument has been heard. But the
of all the stuff on here, I think this most qualifies as actual news.
Oh yeah, yeah. This
but
is
we have,
a, this
oh,
is
yeah, sure. to say about it.
Oh, but it's a Supreme Court case. For the California video game free speech, whatever you want to call it.
Versus...
I didn't even know Diana Ross played video games.
Electronic Merchants Association.
Supreme Court. I got
is this
it.
The Supreme's Court?
Yeah. I got it.
Oh, thanks. Fuck.
But yeah, I figure that that's worth saving until more of the stuff has come in. We could just speculate forever how it might turn out and what the importance is. But I'd rather spend the actual time to discuss it at length in a subsequent show, so.
Yeah, but oral argument was yesterday, or November 2nd, I guess, depending when this goes up.
You want to do you want to hear my impersonation of the oral argument?
Sure. Make a fine
theory.
Point. You make a fair point.
You do not disappoint.
All right. Here's what I think might be some of the biggest news, which is news to really nobody, but... It's just
shocked.
Gran Turismo 5 delayed.
Called it.
Both of you called it.
Yeah, hell's yes. I'm gonna go ahead and say, I'm gonna make a bold statement.
Never.
Gran Turismo 5 coming to your PlayStation 3 in 2012.
Wow. Right. But at that point, they just not.
They just said a few days ago that apparently they're pressing discs now.
No, they're not. Yeah. That's a lie. Why would you believe anything they said?
I heard spring, maybe.
Sure. Maybe.
That's so maybe sad. Never.
At this point, just call it Gran Turismo 6.
Gran Turismo forever.
Spring occurs in cycles, so.
Gran Turismo 5.
Spring. It'll come out in a spring. It's spring every year.
It will spring onto the scene. It was a figurative statement. Yeah, that's...
In all seriousness, who cares? And I'm not trying to be glib, but at this point, like, if you were really waiting, if you were that anxious for Gran Turismo 5, like, if you love racing games that much...
You bought Forza. You bought Xbox.
Yeah, you probably bought Xbox and Forza, or even if you had a PlayStation, you bought some other racing game.
Yeah, you could play...
like Dirt 2 or...
not Drift. What's the other... Yeah,
I'm not sure what's comparable. I mean, even Forza 3 is a little bit more casual than Gran Turismo is, but it's probably the closest thing. But you're right. If you're really hardcore about racing, you probably bought that game at this point.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's the thing, like... If it's not important, why don't they just go ahead and just release it? Just say, like, fuck it. Like, this, no matter what we do, this will not be relevant. So, I guess I'm not Sony or Polyphonia Digital or whoever works on that game. But it's just sad. I wanted that to happen.
I want to see what the hell is going on. I want people, like...
There's a go-kart mode.
What's in it, you know?
A go-kart mode.
Listen, look, if we're being honest, that game's probably pretty good. It's going to have incredible graphics.
It's
that,
got
that,
there's weather no and day and night.
I mean, okay.
That's cool.
That's neato.
Go-kart mode.
I like go-karts.
I like the go-go's.
I just play Blur.
If
you were excited about that mode, if you were like, fuck yeah, go-karts finally come into Gran Turismo. It's like, you know, there's like Blur, like Mario Kart Wii.
All could like, decide, like weather and day-night stuff, I think, is kind of that's a big addition. Like, especially after playing the same tracks over and over on Forza, like...
That's certainly impressive.
It'd be nice to vary that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always overcast on the Nürburgring.
Especially if, like, the rain and the, I guess, theoretically snow would affect the tracks and, like, how they behaved.
They're adding a dog.
Yes!
So you could have a sniper companion. All right.
Robot companion.
Next up, and I think it's kind of bullshit. Oh. Super Mario All-Stars coming to the Wii, not as a virtual console release.
Yeah, so that's the part that's bullshit, but Super Mario All-Stars is awesome.
So $30 gets you Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3 Lost Levels.
Yep, yeah. And the soundtrack.
And the soundtrack and
a little book.
Full color booklet.
The soundtrack's pretty cool. At least in theory.
Be available on Torrent in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a strange thing. Is it a collector's thing? Like, you can already download all these games, I believe, on Virtual Console.
Yeah, but not the remastered awesome All-Stars Edition.
Okay,
which
yeah.
is fantastic.
So they look like Super Nintendo characters instead of NES characters.
Yeah, they play this. Yeah, it's rad.
It's the exact same game with a different skin. So you probably already have 1, 2, or 3 of these because you probably bought at least one Mario game on Virtual Console because you were desperate to buy something when
you probably have at least 1 and/or 3 because they're $5
and Super Mario World because that's one of the greatest games of all time.
Obviously.
So you probably have Super Mario World is not on this disc.
Yeah. How much is World on Virtual Console?
Yes.
How much is it?
$10.
No.
Okay. $8.
$8.
So we've established that the threshold for Super Nintendo games on Virtual Console is $8.
Yes.
Yeah, all the Super Nintendo. I think
that is probably what this should cost then.
It should, yeah. Why not just release Super Mario All-Stars? Well, I guess it's because they know they can milk money out of people. But this should be an $8 game because this is a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. They set those limits. Not me.
You're not making this up, Jimmy. You're not making it up.
No. I'm not above making stuff up.
But in this case, it's a fact. Yeah, it's bullshit.
True.
Jay, do you want it?
I'm I really want it. I might buy it.
Are you going to play it ever? Do you play your Wii?
No.
No. Are you going to turn your Wii just to play some Super Mario?
Ever? Sure.
Once?
Maybe?
I would say once is fair.
$30.
Two or three times is not pushing it. More than that. Probably too generous.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if they put this game out for $8, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. If they put this game out for $8 on Virtual Console, you would never, ever, 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 ever pay $5 for the other five games. Or I'm sorry, for the four games on this disc in their Nintendo version. That would basically be a message to consumers like, yo, these games are only worth $2. And they'd probably be right.
Fair.
But they've been getting away with $5 for so long. So you would think this would at least have to be 20.
Are people still buying the NES games, though, on Virtual Console?
I don't know.
It's been out forever.
That's a good point. I don't know. I would imagine in most cases, you're right. But with games like Mario Brothers, Mario 3, Mario World, the Zeldas, they probably have more staying power.
Yeah, but I feel like the people who like Nintendo and are interested in Mario already have a Wii and already bought those games.
Right, the people who would spend $30 on this kind of disc
for hardcore those games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They probably own them on the GBA.
Oh, now that was a ripoff, because that was like $20 for Mario Brothers 1.
Super Mario Brothers 3, like whatever that one is still like $35.
That's fucking crazy.
Advanced
and
4.
That is the All-Star version. Now it's a great version.
Yeah.
You can't go by like retail prices for pre-DS games, though, because those things, like, they're now collector's items to some extent.
But there was never a point when those games, those advanced games, ever dropped below.
Main Nintendo games are like that. Like, go try to buy, like, Super Mario Galaxy 1. That shit is $50. That shit just never went down in price. Go try to buy, Super Smash Brothers Brawl. $50.
Mm-hmm. Because they can.
Because they can, man. Because when there's so few games for your console, the games that people actually want can fetch a premium.
Speaking of consoles that have so few games that anyone would want that they're trying to get a premium for.
Oh, nice.
Detroit.
Keep going.
Rumors of the PSP phone?
Who cares?
Could this be a real thing? So here's what happened.
Of course. Like, I'm sure it's real.
There were leaked images of, I guess, a mock-up. It's not like an actual photo, I don't think. Of a Sony Ericsson-branded phone that slides up like a PSP Go and has the buttons on it like a PSP Go. And it's a phone. So it'd be a PlayStation phone. Is there a market for this?
No. Okay. Let me tell you why. This is why the PSP is a failed system. Because it's a vicious cycle of market penetration and development cost. If you make a game for the PSP, it is so expensive that you might as well just turn that into a like full-size PlayStation game and put it out for normal consoles. Because there not enough people have a PSP to make selling it solely on the PSP worthwhile.
Right.
But then no one buys a PSP because there aren't any good games for it. See the reason I just said. So for this to make sense, they would have to launch it against the DS and the 3DS in a couple months and iPhone. They've got these other big portable gaming devices to launch against. They would have to launch against that, capture a big enough market share so that people will see it as profitable to develop for.
Yeah. Here's
and
what.
So, like, it costs so much less to just make a game for the DS or, like, iPhone.
Well, and the yield's higher because the install base is so crazy high.
Here's why this little iPhone makes a good gaming system. Because things on here cost $1.
Right.
That's
well, and
it.
Also, here's the thing. I would say this about, like, the iPhone and games or, like, Xbox and Netflix. Nobody would buy an iPhone to play games. Nobody would buy an Xbox for Netflix. However, once you have bought those systems for the other compelling reasons, like, well, I got this iPhone. All right, yeah, you want me to throw a couple bucks to play some casual games? Absolutely. Hell yeah. You know, it's like, I have this Xbox. Oh, I can use it for Netflix. Hey, oh, that's pretty cool. But nobody looks for a phone for games. You know, people want, you know, I'm a big believer in dedicated devices are always going to be better than something that tries to do too many things. You know, it's why still like the old ass iPod is the best music player. Like, yeah, the iPod Touch and the iPhone will play some music or the, you know, and but the interface is not as good and smooth as like the nice click wheel, in my opinion.
I would disagree in that case. I mean, I think there are a lot of convergence devices that are better than the originals, but it's the case that we had this discussion about before. The thing that the original iPod does really well is it is the one thing that you can put all of your music on. So if you could put 160 gigabyte hard drive in an iPhone, that'd be a miserable experience because it would be huge and it would be, you know, spinning at all times and it would eat up a lot of battery.
Or cost $7 million.
And cost $7 million. Another reason that this little guy works is that the games for iPhone, I mean, some are, you know, a couple hundred megabytes, but games for iPhone are tiny. And when you go out in the world and you're on a 3G network, you can download a game, no problem. You can't download a PlayStation, a PSP Go game, you know, while you're waiting for your bus.
You can't even download the original PlayStation game, which will be, you know, half a gig. Or in the case of some of the Final Fantasies, like, you know, gig and a half, 2 gigs.
Yeah. You don't, like, the PSP gains nothing from having a phone attached to it.
Do any of you guys know how much the Go sells for now?
I know they just dropped the price.
$200? Okay. I'm just thinking, like, to be competitive, whatever the fuck this thing might
be. And the PSP Go is terrible. Like, the regular PSP is $169.
All right. And this is something... I was just thinking, like, price, because the 3DS, you think, is going to be, like, $270 or $280. Yeah. iPhone is... How much?
iPhone, you can get one for $200.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, so you get it for $200, but you get it on a contract because it's subsidized. So who's going to be selling this phone? Like, it's hard enough to commit to 2 years of a PlayStation Portable without worrying about, you know, 2 years of having phone service or a phone or whatever. And people don't, like, people want phones now that are these, you know, that are smartphones with multiple features that they can run applications on.
They're incredibly versatile. They want games. They want business features. They want Facebook. They want full-featured browsers. You know.
It makes no sense. I was looking for a way. I was like, you know what? That's actually kind of a cool idea. No. It's a terrible idea. How about you release the PSP Go for $150? How about you cancel the PSP line entirely?
The PSP Go is a terrible idea. It's just a terrible idea because not every game that's been out for the PSP is downloadable. So why would I buy the PSP Go? It doesn't make any sense.
What if my Kindle made phone calls?
Yo, Kindle has a bitchin' Minesweeper app, which I play a lot. Like,
how much is that?
So, free, gratis.
Really?
Yeah. Zero. 0.00. Fuck yeah. That's the best thing I ever bought on that, man.
$139 Minesweeper machine.
Yes. I mean, I read shit on it, but goddamn Minesweeper. It's a good Minesweeper app, man.
There's flags and a smiley face.
Yeah.
It's a frowny face.
You put question marks on there, maybe in case you're not sure.
Maybe not this one. All right, next story. Who added this one?
I did. So I'm not sure how interesting this is, but the game room developer Chrome Studios is shutting down.
Oh no.
I don't know how interesting this is, but it's just sort of like, I really think game room is a fascinating idea. And it would have been cool if like that's what XBLA was to start.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a cool idea until you think about it and then realize they're launching an XBLA shell inside XBLA.
Right. It doesn't make any sense in the context that the games are produced. And for what they were giving, the games were wildly expensive.
Yeah.
But the idea was neat. This kind of like singular place for all your games, unified leaderboards, like cross-game achievements, the idea of like ranked modes versus modes where you could like totally mess with all the settings.
It's a great idea. They released a bunch of shit for it.
Which is fine if you're charging the right amount for that shit. Like, I think it's interesting because it is a way for people to see games that never would have made the light of day. It's like an archiving system. But to pay $3 for a really shitty, like, billiards game for the Intellivision, that is wrong. Like, that's just wrong, straight up. I don't know who thought
well,
that
was and especially work. When they release, like, multiple shitty billiards games, or they would release, like, Breakout Arcade and then, like, Breakout 2600, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really sad to see this go. Or no, I'm really sad that this never turned out the way I wanted it to turn out.
Yeah, I don't know how to fix Game Room. But you feel like it wasn't the developer's fault. Like, it's not broken. Like, it just has shitty games. And, like, doesn't exist in the right place. And, like I've said, it's too expensive. So, you know.
Yeah, it's just the thing, like, you know, how do you get licenses? Because anyone who figures, you know, if our game is going to sell at all, let's just release it for normal XBLA. And make right. $5 instead of $3.
But you have to do something to the game if you put it on normal XBLA. Like, there's no place where you just like, oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, if you bought, like, Ms. Pac-Man or Galaga.
Yeah.
Those have, like, updated, like graphics at least.
No,
up-resed.
Okay. Yeah, but, like...
You can't just port it. Like, you have to do something to it. Like, it could be the exact same game.
But that's true with Game Room, because if they didn't port it, you would get, like, weird, like, wavy lines going up. All the Atari games.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Yeah, you may be right about that.
Yeah, I mean, like Ms. Pac-Man stuff is not up-resed. It's just, the resolution wasn't increased. It's just right. Like, doesn't look like shit on an HDTV. It
just looks fine.
I think this is, the next story, I think this is fucking fucked up. And, like, one of the dickish dick moves I've ever seen. And about a game that I don't give a shit about. And that is Valve announcing Dota 2 out next year. Okay, so right, people don't know.
Let's back up and go through the history of this, because I had to read this story.
Okay, so I've not played it, but I've gotten the gist. This game called Warcraft 3. You may have heard of it.
I believe that
Blizzard?
The Warhammer or Mage
yes,
was killed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Blizzard played some Warhammer, and they're like, this would make a pretty good game. So they made Warhammer, they made Warcraft, Warcraft 3. Okay. Then fans of the game, because there's a big map editor and stuff, made a free mod called Defense of the Ancients, D-O-T-A, or Dota. They kind of took the heroes from Warcraft 3 and kind of blew them up and made this, like, you know, weird sort of, like, tower defense, but, like, also with real-time strategy, but, like, mainly real-time strategy type game. It doesn't really matter. It's this fan mod that's been growing and changing, and they've been making different maps and all that. So, Valve, who makes Half-Life 2, Left 4 Dead, and other first-person shooters.
Actually, I don't know if they make Half-Life 2 anymore.
Well.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's fair. They, at one point, they made
Valve
the Half-Life
is a different
game.
Company.
Is Valve is a very different company.
That
known,
away. That's
known
the
for making high-quality PC first-person shooters. They copyrighted the term Dota, and they are going to release Dota 2. Not Defense of the Ancients 2, because they can't say that for some reason. They're going to release Dota 2. They are making their own, like, real-time strategy engine and their own heroes and, like, updating this game. Now, they are not the first to make a Dota clone. There have been a lot of people who kind of took that idea and released downloadable games and stuff like that. But nobody has had the audacity to, like, steal the name of the fan-made game and release it as their own. That's the dick move in all this.
That's really fucked up.
That's really fucked up. I don't understand how, like, they're going to get away with it. It seems like the only people who would care about a game named Dota would be super nerds already playing Dota.
Yeah.
And at which point they would, like, revolt against this and, like, not want to support, like, the biggest dick move I can think of.
It's hilarious.
It's sort of hilarious and, like, shocking.
I guess you copyrighted that.
I guess, but it's like, Valve, you don't even make these types of games. Like, what do you think you're going to do? Like, what if it sucks? Like, obviously, like, Valve's bar of quality is very, very high, right? But with its own brand of first-person shooters. They've not made a real-time strategy game like this.
Which doesn't mean I don't think that they could, but...
Of course,
you know, but... With Counter-Strike, for example, like, they ended up Like, they bought Counter-Strike. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, this mod is really good. Let's buy it.
Right. That's different. They took all those modders and they hired them and gave them jobs and said, you're going to make Counter-Strike for us now. And now those people still make Counter-Strike.
Right.
This is different. This is saying, fuck all y'all. And like I said, if they were just making a total clone of Dota, was called something else, no problem. Power to you. I mean, people copy people all the time.
I really hope that the end game of this is Valve, like, filing a cease and desist against the people who run Defense of the Ancients for copyright infringement.
That would be crazy.
That would be the best, right?
Thereby alienating the only, like, section of the PC community that's left who will actually play any of their games.
Right, because the gameplay experience now is so similar between PC and console games. It's like the reason to play PC games is because of crazy mods like this.
In the future, will we read about this moment as like the moment that the PC industry collapsed?
I don't know.
It implodes?
I don't know. All I know is that it's fucked. It's messed up. And, I mean, it's the biggest pair of balls I've ever seen on a video game developer.
Is Defense of the Ancients not on Giant Bomb because it's a mod and not a game? It is not in the database.
Probably.
That would be my guess. Huh. Like, I wonder if you went... Yeah, if you search Dota, you get Dota 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you went to, like, Warcraft 3, I don't know if there's a mod section.
But it seems like they would alias it that to that.
Yeah.
This lady with the fire hairs... Kind of sexy.
Sure. I mean, like, why not? There's a water monster. There's, like, some, like, beast dude. I mean, it looks like a video game.
It's Kratos. Yeah. Kratos with a wrestling mask on.
Sure.
It's all right. Yikes.
But, yeah, anyway, that's all I want to say about that. That is messed up. And I am fascinated to see what the next move is.
Yeah, that's weird.
I just wanted to leave a little bit of space. So here's the question. We're at an hour 30.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to just
discussion?
Let's go to the list.
Okay.
Yeah, save that for another time.
And I say, before we go, and I assume you're going to cut this out?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we don't necessarily need to come up with five, right? Like, we should just do a couple of these and just shoot the shit around them?
Yeah, I was thinking we should end up picking five topics, like, in total that we can...
And kind of go through pretty fast.
Yeah. So
I mean, not immediately, but a couple minutes each one.
Like, if we don't like one, we're like, oh, this sucks. We just click to the next one. But by the time we've had five or we've had a good discussion around,
right,
those will be the ones that created our list.
I think that sounds great.
So this is a list generated post discussion, not before discussion.
Okay.
And I need to bring up that thread where. What? Do you remember where it was? It was some, like, random dudes.
Search
the forums.
No! No, 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 no. Wait.
Oh, is it down?
It's down. Wait. No, there it is. Okay, got it.
All right,
we're good. I got a 404 error on his main page, but I went into it. All right, gentlemen, you know what time that means. No. You know what time this is?
What time I know what time it means.
It's like 6:11.
Good morning, Captain.
9:11.
It's morning.
Well, good morning to you. Do you need another mule skitter?
The list.
Down on your new mud run. Hey, hey, hey.
I never get tired of that.
I'm an old Bill Skinner.
Yeah, you are.
The list.
It's the list. An avant-garde edition of the list this week.
It's a little strange. It's still the list.
Still the list. There'll be list-related activities.
Kind of doing it backward this time.
Yep. Usually we come up with an idea, a topic. Generate five choices. This time... to randomly generate five topics.
That's right. So we're generating these topics based on the Giant Bomb forum thread generator. This is something that a Giant Bomb community member came up with using the API, I think using the API of Giant Bomb in addition to other stuff. but it's basically a top best blank whatever in a game of sorts, so that it Mad Libs in and fills in what the topic would be. So here is, well, actually, here's a really good one. I don't know if we should save this one all, but
no, let's go for it. Yeah. It's random. Come on.
Random. The first one that we got here, make a thread about the best character introduced in a sequel this generation.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Morden from Mass Effect 2.
Who from Mass Effect 2?
Morden, the Salarian.
Oh, yes.
Scientist guy?
Yeah, he's a scientist.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the right answer.
Brilliant. That's how it's done.
Yeah, Morden's right. The right answer. I don't know who else I would pick.
Holy shit, I just pasted it, and it's huge. That's what she said. All right, let me... Cha-cha-cha. I need to open up a text document so that I can save these as we're doing them. Word. All right. Moving right along. I'm going to hit the spinner.
Let's do it.
Click, 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 click. Next one. Least favorite video game moment in a handheld game. It's another good one.
That is a good one. In a handheld game.
Hmm. Say... I'm trying to think of like a boss battle from one of the Mario RPGs. I hated some of those. Anything?
Man.
Pokemon?
I would just say like some of the early DS game controls come to mind, like Super Mario 64. Like my least favorite experience was like many experiences in that game. Like, God, fighting Koopa with the stupid stylus.
What's the clock tower stage?
Oh, son 64? Of a bitch. The 14th level.
Yeah.
Yeah. That without a joystick. Where you need to make really, really exacting, like, finesse-based jumps. Something like that would probably be my vote.
That'd be a good one. Jimmy, do you have any?
No, I'm trying to think of shitty handheld stuff.
All of your Harvest Moon experiences coming into play?
Oh, thank you.
Yo, Carrie is bananas for Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon is so good.
Yo.
Carrie, you should talk about this.
You should talk. She plays that shit 3 or 4 hours a night. She's got like a Firefox window with like 6 game facts things open. I'm like, I don't even know who you are anymore. What shit is going on? But yeah, I would probably say.
Yeah, probably.
Poor controls.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track.
Yeah. You know, another bad one, like Phantom Hourglass, having to redo that temple.
Oh, God, that whole game.
Yeah, okay.
Who thinks that, like, I don't understand why everybody thought the game was good. That game is confusing, I can't figure out where to go, and the controls are awful. I just tried firing that up again.
Phantom Hourglass?
Yeah, Phantom Hourglass.
Why
I can't figure out where to go.
Fire that up again?
Yeah, I fired it up over the summer. I had brought a bunch of DS games to the beach, and I was looking for something to do.
There were plenty of other better things.
Like August?
To do.
Well, you know, like at night and stuff. Everybody's all asleep, and I'm like, yeah.
I'll go play this game that kind of sucks because you can't control it.
I don't know. I was just like, well, I've had too many beers, so Picross isn't going to work because I can't figure out the puzzles in time to get all 3 stars, so what's the point? So I got to play something a little bit less impact. I usually just went to Metroid Pinball was a go-to.
What about that? What's the Metroid Prime game? Hunters.
Yeah, that game's, you know, that could be worse.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It wasn't abysmal. It was just not good.
It was like, you know, okay, this, it works enough.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's that early thing then. Maybe it is the Mario 64 example.
Because I can't think of a game. I mean,
like a really bad GBA game.
There's a lot. I mean, there's just a lot of frustrating games. I remember I had like the like Ren and Stimpy. That was like Space Madness game. But it was like any cheap Game Boy game that it was bad because it had fucking awful controls, horribly unforgiving jumps.
The ending of like, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Oh, yeah. Really, most of the end game of that, because that game, once you leveled up to a certain point, that game got super easy.
Yeah.
Like, I found the last quarter of that game, after like a long time of it being super, super fun, it'd be pretty disappointing.
Last level of the first Advance Wars.
Yes!
Didn't beat the first Advance Wars, beat the second one. That was really good.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Jimmy. Yeah, I had to GameFAQs that one like step by step, so that I actually like put everything in the right position because I couldn't beat it. And
I found out that like I had not done the campaign properly to get like the best characters into that battle, so it was like impossible.
Good design choice.
Yep.
Good design choice. What about like Final Fantasy Adventure in general?
Well, that, yeah, that game just sucks. Oh, I was going to say playing Circle of the Moon on the original Game Boy Advance. Most disappointing game because you cannot see it.
Least favorite video game moment in a Hell in Hell video game. You can't play the video game because...
Can't see it.
That's a really good one.
Can't get enough light on... God, that game's great, too. Like, as soon as that GBASP came out, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is a hell of a game. All right, let's spin the wheel. We've had a lot of good answers here.
Let me write down circle. Spinning the wheel. I wish I had like a clicking sound, like a tick 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 tick. Most charmingly garrulous deaths from the last generation.
Oh my god. I would say, you know, again employing the Bloody Mess perk in Fallout New Vegas.
Did you say this or last generation?
From last generation.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say this, because there's a lot of really long deaths in Metal Gear Solid 4, aren't there?
You mean 3?
Yeah, 4. Well, I know. That's why I asked this class.
I like any of the Metal Gear Solids. Maybe the end's death
but
in
people,
3.
People take forever to die.
Yeah. Well, it's like
yeah,
that. That's a good answer. I like just boss deaths from Metal Gear Solid.
I was born on a battlefield.
Spin it.
I have to copy the most charmingly. Hey, here's a relevant one. Most beloved villain ever.
Ganondorf.
I believe he's the most
right?
evil villain ever.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Bowser?
Yeah, beloved, yeah. It's got to be Bowser.
Probably.
It's got to be Bowser.
All right, Jay, give me some ticker music.
Bonk.
Favorite gameplay concept from the last generation. Here's a good one.
From the last generation.
Yeah. There's a PS2?
Yeah, PS2.
You know,
GameCube,
when the first thing that came, and it's basically fucking done. But when God of War came out, the, I don't even forget what it's called now, the like timed button presses.
Quick time events.
That was pretty bad.
Those were innovative at one point.
Super, super cool for like two games.
Yeah.
And then, like, never again. I would also, like, Guitar Hero is a pretty easy answer.
Destructible environments.
Okay, sure.
Like the first Red Faction games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like satisfying destructible environments, sure.
Yeah.
What about, like, the first, like, good execution of a dual stick first-person shooting game?
Oh, yeah, Halo. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's huge. That's probably
the winner.
That's probably the winner. That is definitely the winner, let's be honest.
That has influenced games more than pretty much anything else.
So,
moving
console
on.
First-person shooters.
Done.
Bonk.
Most confusing motion controls in a handheld game.
What motion controls? All I can think of is WarioWare Twisted.
Yeah.
Which wasn't really confusing. It didn't really work great.
Should we skip this one?
Yeah,
yeah, let's skip it.
You're not looking at the screen, sir.
So.
Weirdest plot twist you've ever seen.
Weirdest?
Weirdest plot twist.
Hmm.
Weirdest.
I'm not sure.
That's something surprising, necessarily. It's probably surprising because it's a twist.
Well, surprising would be KOTOR.
Yeah, but that's
right.
Not weird.
No.
This weird plot twist. We'll have to like look, turn around and look at our game shelves.
Yeah.
And he, like Bioshock's kind of a weird twist. That's surprising.
Okay. Yeah. It was weird, but logical though. Like I have a negative connotation with weird. Weird is when the plot twist happens and you're like,
what?
Really? I don't know. That doesn't make a lot
of
sense.
I think that has to be the criteria. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Is there anything from, like, Assassin's Creed 2 that's a weird plot twist? That seems like the type of game that would have one.
Mm.
Like, I don't even understand this anymore.
So, yeah, sort of.
Kind of.
I would say...
Yeah!
Should I spoil?
It's been out for a while.
It's been out for a while.
I don't care. So,
I would say, are you talking about the end of Assassin's Creed 2? I was going to talk about the fact that, like, you start to connect with other people who, like, have this ability. And you, like, people have, like are starting to leave messages for you. And, like, your body starts to blur with, like, the person from, like, ancient Rome and stuff. I thought that was kind of weird. And just, like, I don't really get that. But okay.
Give a second.
I just got... I'm sorry, I just got dropped. What were you saying?
Oh.
Take it.
So I was thinking of the moment, basically, where you and the memories of other past assassins start converging. So, like, when you see memories from other people in the present in the, like, past world of Rome, like the little hidden messages that you like combine to form that one movie.
Yeah.
Or how like you and your ancestors like abilities start to combine by the end of the game.
Yeah, like the end of the first Assassin's Creed when you can start using your powers in the real world.
That's totally
weird. You see all that like, totally fucking shit on the walls. Yeah.
But I assume were you thinking of assassinating the Pope?
That was cool. But not
that
really
was fucking
weird.
Cool. Yeah. That's pretty weird.
It
that's
was cool when the
and, like,
Pope took out his like alien staff and started.
You're like, yo, this is messed
shit.
Up.
Yeah. It was kind of like, cool when you're like, oh, I'm gonna shoot the Pope in the Sistine
right.
Chapel.
It's not like I'm Catholic or anything, but I'm like, this doesn't feel right, but it also feels awesome.
Yeah.
I would say that's the closest I can think of. Good pull, Bobby. Let's spin it.
Yeah.
Bonk.
Creepiest cutscene introduced in a sequel.
Creepiest?
Creepiest cutscene introduced in a sequel.
Again, in Mass Effect 2, some of the camera angles on Miranda are a little creepy.
That's a good interpretation of creepy.
Yeah.
She looks like a weird plastic version of that chick from Chuck.
Because she's modeling that chick.
Because she's modeling him, yeah.
Oh, is she?
Yep.
I don't like Chuck. That's a bad show.
No, it's awful. Not even Jane can help that show. Mass Effect 1 has creepier cutscenes. Yeah. Like, with those weird like cutscenes, like those flashes in all red where there's the screaming of the Prometheans, and it's like...
That stuff's really good.
But that's not a sequel. Yeah.
No.
Hmm. Some could say... Like, I'm thinking, like... Think along the lines of like a Resident Evil, those aren't particularly like they're not really introduced.
Not really.
What does the word
maybe
introduced mean?
Halo ODST has some like somber cutscenes. I don't know about creepy.
Yeah. I wouldn't say they're creepy. Like because they're not intended to creep you out. Like a creep you out would be, it's like something from like BioShock 2.
Yeah, I know they're not like in Bioshock 2.
Well, no, when you're playing as the, it's been out for a little while.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
So when you're playing as the little sister at the end, that's kind of creepy, and like everything's all
oh
roses
man,
and sunshine.
That wins.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
Oh no, that's not a cutscene though.
Mm. Oh, but it's
trolling.
I think it's close enough though because there's no other action in that scene.
Yeah,
you're just walking around.
Yeah, and like all the splicers are like dancing and stuff. That is crazy.
That's fucked up. When it flashes to like what the real world is and it goes back to like your happy vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great choice. I'm gonna go with that. I think that's close enough. The little sister playable sequence in Bioshock 2.
Spin it, Jay.
Bonk.
Most controversial hero introduced in a sequel. Controversial hero.
That's Morden again, right?
Why is he controversial?
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like messed up.
He's not that messed up. He's certainly not the most controversial. We need to think outside the
box. No. I guess he's kind of funny.
I mean, this can be from any generation, so we can go back. Like,
that's true.
Controversial hero, like Squall from FF8. He seems to be a controversial hero. nobody likes
controversial
him.
Controversial from a PR sense.
He's a whiny. Well, oh, that's a great question. Is it a controversial from PR, or is it controversial because, like, you know,
if your argument
like
he's a whiny bitch, it's like that is every Final Fantasy character. It's controversial just because he's so not Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of emo and introspective. He's whinier in a different way than Cloud is. Then I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, would that raise a stink? It's a good question of what controversial means in this case. No, others.
Raiden.
Raiden.
Answer done.
That's the answer. That's it.
Thank you.
All right. Took me a bit.
Good pull.
You're just letting it. You weren't going to say any words until the good ones came out.
How long should we spend it one more time?
Yeah, we can spend it one more time.
Yeah, sure.
Or a couple of times. Here we go. Bonk.
Most disappointing plot line to be removed from a sequel.
Removed from a sequel?
Yes. The evolution of Solid Snake.
I don't even
Snake.
Know how to answer that. Yeah.
Disappointing plot line to be removed from a sequel. What's the case
how
where
did
they
we even answer that? How would we know what plot line?
Spin it again.
It again. Bonk.
Most extreme fishing minigame from the 16-bit era.
All right. Let's think.
Can you fish in Link to the Past?
No. Although you can, if you do a dash attack in the water, I believe you can kick fish up, can't you?
Yeah, I think that sounds right, but I don't think that's not a fishing.
Huh. There are fish involved.
There might not have been any.
Harvest Moon? Did that have fishing?
Probably. Yeah, Harvest Moon came out. The original Harvest Moon is Super Nintendo.
I do not know if you could fish in the original Super Nintendo.
I think we got to spin this again.
Yeah, spin it again. I like that one. I want to know what your least favorite mod tool seen at E3 was.
Oh my god, what are these topics?
Speed tree.
That's the favorite.
No, Speed Tree is the best. All right. Let's cut the bullshit. How fast are your trees?
Oh, they're speedy.
They're pretty fast.
Favorite mod tool.
Bonk.
Favorite fatality ever. This could produce some good answers.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know my fatalities very well now.
Yeah, I've not played Mortal Kombat since it was current.
Or Killer Instinct.
I mean, the classic and one of the creepiest is, like, you know, Scorpion taking his mask off and, like, breathing fire on somebody, and they, like, turn to fire and collapse into a pit of ash.
That's good. Wasn't it one of the ninjas just popped out bombs till the world exploded? The robot cool. Ninjas?
Mm-hmm. Cyrax
Sub-Zero. Sector or whatever.
I think Sub-Zero would like grab somebody's head and like pull their head and like their spinal column out.
Yeah, I think that's the iconic one.
All I can think of are like the really famous ones. I don't know. Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good, of course, but
I think the Scorpion one is the most iconic.
Yeah, I agree.
This is fun. Let's spin it again.
Bonk, bonk, bonk.
Favorite plot twist you've ever seen?
Favorite plot twist. KOTOR comes to mind.
Chrono Cross
losing Paula in Earthbound comes to mind. Chrono Cross, oh, strong. Chrono Cross is great.
Because, okay, you know, maybe killing Eris is a bigger plot twist, or like is more unexpected, perhaps. But this produces more enjoyable things, therefore it could be your favorite.
Yeah, I don't think killing Eris counts as a twist necessarily.
I guess it's not a twist.
It's a plot event.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. KOTOR to me is maybe bigger story wise. Certainly gameplay wise. Chrono Cross, hands down. Maybe Chrono Cross wins because not only is it a really good story twist, but it also dramatically affects like the middle, like 40%, like 40% of the game.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's pretty crazy. I like that answer. This was fun as hell.
Can we do a few more? Because, I mean, we still have a little bit of time. Like two more?
No, yeah.
Bonk. What is the least favorite menu system you've ever seen?
Oh,
the radio menus from Secret of Mana come to mind.
Those are pretty terrible. Fable 2 is fucking terrible. It's slow as shit. Mass Effect 1.
Oh.
The equipment menus in Mass Effect 1. Those are bad. By the end of the game.
Yeah.
Scrolling down that list over and over.
God damn it.
What is the best musical theme in Game Room?
The best musical
in Game Room?
Yeah.
So, like, in the shell or in a game?
Is Paperboy in Game Room?
No.
Because that's the best music.
I was assuming in the shell.
Which Paperboy was in Game Room?
I'm going to look it up.
There's only, like, one song that plays.
I know.
I like the Shaolin's Road music.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
There was that, I think that helicopter rescue game, like where you're putting out fires over like a top down. That I believe that one had really good music.
Awful game. Yeah, it's not bad. There's some of good.
There's some actually some great like music that's way better than any of the games in there.
Yeah, Shaolin's Road is like.
It's not bad.
Yeah, all right, that's the answer.
Hunger Shell. Paperboy is not in Game Room, I believe.
No,
I
think it's not.
All right, one last one, and then we'll wrap this son of a bitch up.
Bonk.
Favorite product placement of all time.
This is a good one to end on.
This is a good one. Like, what is it they have to deal with? What does favorite mean? Like, is it, like, the most, like, outrageous, therefore you loved it? You didn't expect to find it there?
I think that's what it is, as in, like, worst or most blatant.
But, like, not in a way, like, it offended your senses to the core, like, not like that, because if that's the case, you would never...
Okay, there's all the, like, the Energizer and Verizon stuff in Alan Wake. There's the Stride gum product placement.
Oh, shit.
The new,
and the Tony Hawk ride?
No, Shaun White skateboarding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about like billboards that have games on them in like racing games and stuff?
Those are kind of love me so much.
Yes.
Didn't like MGS4 have like Sony Ericsson phones like all over the place?
I know it had an iPod.
I know you had an iPod.
Yeah.
I know Bond games. I think always have Sony Ericsson.
What about Yaris?
Didn't Obama buy
I think Yaris wins.
No, Doritos Dash for Destruction.
But Doritos Dash for Destruction, at least that was an easy 200 points. Yaris points are hard.
And that is why it's my favorite. Because not only is it blit, but it was
I have to play this.
There's no enjoyment from Yaris.
Obviously I have to play this. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Doritos Dash for Destruction.
Can't even invert the right joystick, so Yaris is the worst game ever for a lot of reasons.
Done. Doritos Dash for Destruction. Cool. Well, thank you guys. That was fun. I would love to do this more often.
Whoa. This was fun. This is a great change up for the list. I feel like that's not the last time we will see this.
Yeah.
Cool. So before we end, I just want to plug something. I co-wrote a book with my professor and my buddy Simon. And it came out a few weeks ago. And I believe Jay is going to a shelf to get it. And he's holding it up, and it's totally there. It's called News Games. It's about video games that can do journalism. And it's on Amazon for like $16.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hey. It's like the third time my audio has dropped.
We should probably end this.
I actually already ended the show, if you want. It's just me going, fuck, and then pressing the end button.
All right. Good.
That's fine.
Now, let's do a real ending. All right.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, so go buy my book. Thank you, Jimmy, for joining us on late notice.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Jay, thank you for... I don't know. Do you get a thing? You don't get a... Fuck you.
No, we're just co-hosting.
Thanks for buying my book.
You miserable bastard. I didn't read your book yet, but I bought it. So
that,
I have.
Literally, that's all that matters to me.
You should not finish it just to prove a point to him.
I shouldn't.
News games are never finished.
I was mad if this shit was on Kindle, I would not be getting it in this old whatever the hell format.
Yeah, it should be on Kindle in a couple months. We're working on that, so I don't know. That's it for this episode. Let's make this thing over with.
We're done. Thanks everybody for listening. Bye.
LowScorePodcast@gmail.com, LowScorePodcast@blogspot.com, review us on iTunes, 5 stars.
All that stuff.
Smooth.
There it is.
There it is.